Listen to the award-winning Women in Business podcast from NatWest, a series presented by June Sarpong. Discussing the highs and lows, she's joined by budding entrepreneurs alongside NatWest's Women in Business specialists. Plus tips from leading businesswomen, including Martha Lane Fox and the British Fashion Council's Caroline Rush. Search NatWest to listen and subscribe, and to find more interviews with industry experts, hosted by Mary Portis.
Feeling stressed? Supercharge your mood and let go of your anxieties with Clarins new Rise and Shine wellness treatment. Clarins are experts in skincare and always have been. They also offer luxurious facials and body massages in their skin spas. Their new wellness treatments are perfect for when you need a moment of me time. Rise and Shine includes a stimulating body massage and a reviving facial with plant-powered products. Book online today at clarins.co.uk/skinspa. Clarins, it's all about you.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay. Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Anna, God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers,
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony,
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster,
give them hell, Miss Noel,
the incredible edible Matthews sisters, and Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Old Bravs. I'm Ronnie Caron, and here I am with Ben. Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, I'm so loony. I almost interrupted you at a point where I almost went, and I'm Ben. Got
okay,
so excited.
You want to do it again?
Sure.
I'm Ronnie. See, failed. Fail. Absolute fail. Damn it. If that is a sign of things to come today, I quit.
I thought you were doing it again, like you were going to do like a normal intro where I don't interrupt you.
I was just kidding. I like opening as awkwardly as possible.
I can't tell if we're still on the show or if we're in between takes. I can't tell.
We don't do multiple takes on this show. We've been doing this almost 7 years, sir. Wait, have we? Is that true?
We're live.
Yeah, we're doing. We're recording. I ain't editing shit.
Hi, everyone.
Have we met? Hi, everybody. That's Ben, and I'm Ronnie still. Welcome to the show. Today is Real Housewives of Dallas Day. But first, we have live shows coming up. November, we're going to be in Seattle. Nashville, we've only got like 20 tickets left, so get those. That's in December. You can find ticket links on our calendar at watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, you can find links to buy shirts. This month's shirt, limited edition, is King of Snarkasm. The wave. The wave. So go get those now. Yeah. And that's all I have to say. How are you doing today, mister?
I'm crazy. I'm drinking a lot of Starbucks. I can't believe we only have two live shows left for 2018. And then that's crazy. It's crazy.
And then we celebrate Jesus' birthday.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, it's exciting. I'm especially loony because I'm riding the high of Real Housewives of Dallas, which, you know, this episode that we're going to be talking about today, really, it's just why I love Dallas so much. Like, there's like a real, real fun interpersonal politics happening, and I'm here for it.
This is that point in the season where, I mean, good luck choosing sides because you're all wrong. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone
exactly.
on this show is absolutely incorrect. Mm-hmm. And I actually really like all of them. even kind of Brandy, which feels weird.
Wow, look at you.
I don't agree with Brandy at all in this. I think she's kind of a bigger asshole than ever today. But yeah. I don't know. I just appreciate that they all give us such a hilarious show. And also, props to Mama D. And also, mm-hmm. props to the people who finally gave Mama D her private diary room session.
Yeah, I think we had seen one or two of those before this season, but she had a lot of them this week. And just props to everyone. Props to everyone who's involved in this show. Props to the floors and the ceilings. Props to Texas. To Texas, okay?
And actually, I was kidding, but props to the props department, because Mama D had some funny shit in this one. She has a little sign behind her that says, "Every time I think of you, I think, thank God! Thank
I know.
God,
I first noticed that back in the episode where Mama D accused Deandra of being jealous of her. And I was like, I just love that this woman is both accusing her daughter of being jealous of her and then also sitting in front of a sign that says, "Every time I think of you, I say, I think of God."
Yeah, that's for when Janet has meetings in here. Okay? Mm-hmm. Not you, Deandra.
That's for Amelia. So this week's episode begins appropriately with Leanne and Rich going to a restaurant called Matchbox. I don't think I'd ever go to a restaurant called Matchbox with Leanne. She's like, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to burn this restaurant down." It's asking for it.
"Hey, Rich, you want to have lunch at Knives on Your Face?" Sound good?
"Hey, Rich, you want to eat at Bullet Through the Brain?"
"Hey, Rich, let's go have some breakfast. I'm going to scalp you, bitch."
"Hey, Rich, let's go eat a brunch at Here Comes My Ex."
And this show is very proud of its transportation, because it always opens, like this time, it's train cars, trolleys, freeways, bridges. Like, okay, yeah. We get it. Texas is really into oil and gas. Okay, everybody, yeah, support. Exactly. Support your local 76.
Exactly. So the first thing I noticed was a waiter doing something that you absolutely hate, which is he came and kneeled down right in front of Leanne, which is really what most people should be doing anyway. But he kneels down. He's like, "So you think about getting some margarita? You want a cocktail? Want a spicy margarita? It's really spicy."
And she goes, "Is that going to be spicy?" He's like, "Yeah, that's going to have a kick. It's going to be spicy." She's like, "All right, get me the spicy one." And then I was like, "Get your fucking elbows off my table." And you know what's weird about that is being in the food and beverage industry in Texas, it's extremely difficult. Like, you have to go through days of like schooling and testing. How do people put their elbows on the table at every restaurant they go to now in Texas? What is happening, food and beverage commission?
I'm telling you, it's the decline of Western society. Don't they know that every time you put your elbow on a table, an angel dies?
An angel loses its elbows. Hey, good luck getting a spicy margarita.
By the way, I feel bad for the angels that are bad, that have been like, you know, I feel like there's angels everywhere, but I feel really bad for the angels that have been told, like, assigned to the table. You're a table angel. You have to sit there and dodge elbows. And I'm sorry, you may be sacrificed for the cause of greater manners.
I know. It's also us just putting a positive spin on horrible things. It's like, someone died. You put your elbows on the table. That's how you make angels. You know,
it's such a severe thing to say.
It is, when you really think about it. So, yeah, they're having
I thought it was like, crush an angel when you put an elbow on your table. That's what Mrs. Chadwick said in sixth grade. When you put your elbow on the table, it crushes an angel. Like, there's an angel sitting there that you didn't see, and you just crush it, which is amazing, because I thought angels are sort of invisible. But apparently, angels are really vulnerable to elbow crushing.
Well, dead angels are invisible too, so what do we care? That's my question.
I just say they get perturbed. I don't think they actually get killed.
If an angel is splattered on a table by someone's elbow, but no one's around to see it, did it really happen?
So anyway, Leanne's like, "So we're still good to get married at Cathedral of Hope," which I was like,
it sounds like a hospital.
I know, it really does. And it also, it's not so good with those rumors. Like, "Oh, there's an issue with your marriage, so you're going to get married at Cathedral of Hope." Doesn't sound so.
"I hope that you'll stay true." Like, they just changed all the vows to hope.
"I wanted to get married at the Cathedral of Charity, but it's taken."
Now, Rich seems like a good person, but he's always doing really confusing things to me, and it makes me unsure whether or not he's a good person. For example, today he ordered the wedge salad. What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know? I'm not sure. And then the waiter brings
the
drinks.
I like to call it the Deandra salad. Driving a wedge between me and Rich. That's what she's doing.
Get your blue out of here, Deandra.
So I am literally just trying to give you a wedge salad.
So they get their drinks and Lee goes, "Woo! Whoa! Wow! That has got a kick to it." I'm like, "Well, you asked. Andy said it was spicy." Marty Mac.
I thought the same thing. I was like, "Leanne, it was a hot, he said it was spicy. It's a spicy margarita. You didn't get a glass of milk."
It's like people who eat peanuts and then see the peanut place because they're allergic to peanuts. You ordered, I know. You're eating the peanuts.
I know. It's like when you order something like peanut brittle and they have to put the packaging out, may contain peanuts. It's like, thanks. Thanks to the idiot who was going to eat the peanut brittle. It's like the time I've told the story a few times over the past few years when I went to like a restaurant with some people, and this dumb girl was with us, and she was talking about how she's vegan. And then she ordered a brisket sandwich, and then it arrived, and then she wouldn't eat it. And she's like, "Because I'm vegan." I'm like, "Well, why did you order a brisket sandwich?" And she goes, "Because I didn't know what it was, and I was too afraid to ask the waiter."
You need some protein, honey.
She needs to go on Below Deck. So,
that's the answer in Texas. You need some protein.
So Leanne, she's still so cruel to Rich. She looks at Rich and she goes, "Now, Rich, is there anything in particular you would like to see in a wedding gown from me? Like something in 3D? Would you like that? Something in 3D?
He's like, "Star Wars."
I'm like, "You're so, like, Leanne, you have to think about the words you say, okay?"
If I walked down the aisle in heels and a thong, he'd be like, "Tomorrow." It's like, well, then maybe you should, because that's like the whole drama of the season, okay? That just solved everything.
Exactly. So Leanne's going to be going dress shopping with Steph, her new friend, and she wants to go dress shop with Deandra, but doesn't think it's going to happen because Deandra's in that certain sort of way. So
yeah, she's like, "I can't take Deandra." He's like, "Why not?" Over with Deandra. Deandra's walking through the office. By the way, still doesn't have the head office. So she's walking through, and we get the hellos again, except she only gives it to one person. She's like,
"Amelia.
Hi, Amelia." And I was like, "Oh my God, did everybody else get fired? What happened? I'm worried about this office now." They used to say hello to 10 people each.
Well, and also, has she not learned anything from her mother? Like, if you're going to be the CEO of this corporation, you got to go, "Hi, Amelia, how are you doing? How are your house plants doing? Are they good? Did you water them today? That is so great, Amelia. Oh, anyway, I'll talk to you later, L22.
How are you?"
Yeah, that's why she'll never fully win over the company, because she doesn't know how to schmooze with Amelia.
Oh my God, that Amelia is going to get her revenge.
She really will. Because Amelia is like, "I deserve to be the head of this company. I've been the one working here. I'm the one who's the chemistry person. I'm the one who found the snow algae."
So she comes into Mama D's office, who you know is prepared to meet Deandra because she's wearing a snowflake jacket.
Do you see a reflection in here, Deandra? Do you see it in my jacket?
So, Mama D loves, like, a 3D jacket. Like, she loves a stiff jacket with, like, 3D printing on it.
Like a high collar.
Yeah.
You know?
This time it's white roses and snowflakes, snowflakes. So she comes in and she sits down and she's like, "I know why you sit in that chair, Deandra. Because you haven't given me the main chair yet?" "Nope. Because you want to escape. It's closest to the door."
Well, guess what? There's no escaping today. Amelia, and Amelia just comes in and just stands in the door. It's going to guard the exits.
So Deandra's like, "Mother, we need to have a talk because I'm nervous about the Green Miracle." I'm like, "Yeah, because it sounds like Miracle-Gro, which is a plant food, and no one wants to drink that."
It sounds like sewage. She's like, "I need to know about the Green Miracle, and I've got deadlines, and I just don't know what to do." She's like, and so Dee's like, "Well, yesterday at the meeting, you should have said, 'I'm going to take this over because I can tell you you're not going to have that product ready,' just like last year, because you're an utter failure. But I do love you so much. Don't be jealous of me."
She tells us, "Now that I'm turning it over, she needs to focus on the products. You know what you got to do? You got to order things. You got to make lists of things. You need to have things in stock. Listen to Mama D."
Mama will provide. I can make that joke now that I've seen Once on This Island. I get it.
Oh my God, Mama D playing Mother Earth.
Deandra playing T-Moon. "Now, Mother, I am going to that hotel. I'm going to see that boy who I revived from life. His name is Jeremy, and we are going to be in love. Mama.
Mama will provide for 2 weeks until you fuck it up, and I'm taking back over, okay?"
"Hey, Jeremy, hey. I brought you back to life. You got a scar the shape of a moon on your chest. I'm not psycho. Okay, you will let me in right now." Like, two people in our audience don't understand what the hell we're talking about right now.
So Dandra's doing this like tongue, or Mama D does this thing where she's always like wiping the lipstick off of her teeth with her tongue. Notice that. She's always like,
I know. She's just secretly loving watching Deandra struggle, like running like a very basic meeting at the company. And she's like, now listen, Deandra, my failure daughter, if you ever get into a big pickle, and I'm not talking about the big pickle jar you like to eat out of, I'm talking about big pickle. If you get into one, you know, you can always call me up and say, hey, mom, can you call the president of this company or that company? Because, you know, I have business connections because I've actually been doing this for a while. And I'm not a total fuck up. Oh, did I say that? Well, I don't give a rip of what you think I just said.
You need mama to call a head honcho for you? Fine. I've probably been engaged to him. Just let mama know. Let mama know. And then she tells us, Dandra, the problem with Dandra is she thinks she's in competition with me. Now, here's what's going to happen with this company. She's going to make it or she's going to break it. Okay? It's like I told Willie Nelson. Hold, no one to hold him. No one to fold him. Get your hand off my butt cheeks until you put a ring on it. Okay, Beyonce?
Well, Deandra, if you liked it, you should put a ring on it, okay? Oh, I guess you did, huh? But I'm taking that ring back, okay? My ring now.
When are you gonna get rich to put a ring on it?
So Deandra, we learned that Dee is gonna be doing cooking lessons for the girls, and Dee wants to teach Leanne how to cook, and Deandra says this is probably a good idea because I guess Leanne was supposed to cook some spinach, and then she like made it too salty. She made salty spinach, mother. She has salty spinach. Tastes like a salt. Like, I am very concerned about her. This marriage is not going to work out if she makes salty spinach.
And Mama D says, it's important for me to cook with Leanne. And she doesn't know what she's doing, but neither do you. And you've got keys to the company. Am I right? This will be fun. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, she goes, listen, here's the thing with Leanne. I've cooked with her before. She doesn't know how to do anything, but that's what makes her funny, okay? That's why I like her more than my own daughter. Oh, hey, that's you, isn't it?
Well, listen, that's why on the back of this chair is stitched Leandra,
okay? Do you ever think to yourself, wouldn't it be great if Leanne were your older sister? Wouldn't it be nice if I had another daughter, one that was fun. You ever think about that, Deandra?
Well, I don't know if she's going to come because she's highly irritated me, mother. We got in a fight, okay? And Deandra's like, Mama D's like, you did. Diddly-dee, diddly-dee, diddly-dee. Go over to Leanne Rich back in, you know, I'm going to burn your ass off if you ever fuck with me.
Yeah, exactly. And so Leanne's complaining about this comment that Deandra made about that they, you know, living separate lives, et cetera, et cetera. And Rich is like, what? Separate lives? What is this? When I go to Colombia and visit my other wife and four kids that I most certainly do not have in Colombia, and are we talking about Colombia, like District of Columbia, or like Colombia, Maryland, or like Colombia, the country? I mean,
Columbia Records. I mean, they do call me all the time, but that doesn't mean I'm having their kids. Okay, I'm not paying for a Huey and Lewis in the News tape from 20 years ago. All right.
I'm not saying I have a mistress at Columbia University. Never, never, never.
Well, they both act so fishy because she's like, hey, yeah, right, wink. Like, what is going on this show?
I don't know. But basically, here's where, like, now some of Leanne's issues come out. She's basically saying she's not sharing stuff with Deandra anymore because Deandra is now drinking buddies with Brandy, and Leanne doesn't want to share sensitive information with Deandra, and then Deandra's just going to babble it over to Brandy. And this is probably because when Leanne told Brandy, told Deandra, hey, watch out for Brandy, then Deandra went up to Brandy and said, hey, Leanne said I should watch out for you.
Yeah, so, I know. It's so crazy. It's so crazy how this is happening.
Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly. So that's like the state of Leanne and Deandra at the moment because of the Brandy situation.
Right. So then back in the office, Deandra's
wait, like, and then I just want to say also that then Leanne goes, you know what? You can't trust someone that drinks. And then she like raises a margarita to her lips directly after she says that.
Every time she says it, she's got another drink in her hand. It's like a continuous thing through the episode. So back at the office, Deandra's like, yeah, but mother, they have separate lives. And she's like, who cares? They always have. What is the difference? Who wants to be with the man all the time anyway? I say separate him, not date him, or whatever. And Dandra's like, she thinks I'm poking and prodding for nefarious reasons. I'm poking and prodding because I'm her friend, mother.
I also really enjoy poking and prodding. Isn't that right, Amelia? And I was like, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you.
If you touch me one more time, god damn it.
Oh, damn it. She just touched me again.
I keep promising to do something, but I never do nothing.
So we learned that Deandra, she's like, I was looking forward to hosting baby showers or wedding showers and things like that. But we learned that Deandra once, you know, we know that she had a fiance before Jeremy, and that. But what we learned is that Leanne did not like this fiance, and they didn't talk for a while because of that. And Deandra's like, you know, we had problems in that relationship, and I ignored them at first, and now I feel like Leanne is doing the same thing with Rich. I'm like, or you're just projecting and you're just like finally getting revenge because you didn't like the way Leanne treated you with that first fiance.
Yes. And, you know, it is interesting to know that because they're just like, they are like little sisters. You know, they're sisters yeah. in gigantic eyelashes, you know, and they're fighting over stupid things. And then she's like, well, mother, first she said it's November. Then she said it's April. Then she said spring. All right, I'm going to disregard that April is spring. Wait, is that true? January, February,
March. She's just...
Yeah. So she's like, I'm going to disregard that, Deandra, as seeing as how you're taking over my country or my company and you should know a goddamn calendar. Okay? Now, anything else? She's like, see, it's making me out to be a bully mother, but I'm trying to make her be honest. And she goes, maybe she doesn't want you girls to know what's going on in her life. Have you ever thought about that?
You ever think about that, dumb-dumb? You stupid dumb heifer of a daughter. Dumb-dumb.
Be more of a sweetheart and less of a dumb-dumb, right?
Hey, Deandra, knock-knock.
Who's you saying, mother?
Dumb-dumb.
God damn it.
Dumb-dumb who, mother?
Dumb-dumb who? That's who you are. That's what that joke means.
Amelia's like, God, I love that joke.
Amelia's cracking up in the doorway. Amelia's still standing at the doorway, by the way.
So back at the restaurant, Leanne's like, whoa, that's spicy. Now, if she would hate if I treated her this way, Rich. And Rich is like,
you gonna see her tomorrow?
She's like, yeah. Carrie and Mark are opening their laser center. And he's just like,
ring, ring.
Like, then it's ring, like, ring.
ring, ring.
Who's that? Sales call.
Sales call. Just a, oh, good. I'm looking at it. Looks like it's another phone call from Giant Knives Incorporated.
A wink.
Oh, it's Cathedral of Hope again. Get the fuck off my phone.
And he's like, your separate life calling. She's like, yeah, all right.
Wink. It's some phone number from Columbia.
I'm not sure what they're trying to make us think, you know? Because at this point, yeah, I think they're both just cheating on each other. Like, how many giant winks can you give in one scene, you know?
Also, by the way, I just want to say, whoever was calling Leanne, whatever telemarketer that was, they really dodged a bullet. Because I feel like there could be nothing more terrifying than being like, hi, ma'am, did you know that you could get a higher credit rate, a higher interest rate on your credit card? Oh, yeah, who says I want that? I'm going to come into your house right there. I know where you are. You're in the middle of India, aren't you? I'm going to crawl right over there to India, and I'm going to gut you.
Rich thinks I'm having an affair with someone named Scam Lackley.
I can barely see straight, everyone. Let's be honest. Too much coffee in me. Not making sense.
So then back to the office. Deandra's, Mama D is yelling at Deandra. She's like, you are chasing her around going, you do this, you don't do this. I've never seen you together. Mama D has gone crazy.
She's like fully mocking Deandra. Like, you're just chasing around. Like, my name's Deandra. I think I'm a businesswoman, but what I am is a party girl who can't even do that because she walked away from society because she thought she was too good for it. But guess what? She's not too good for it. She's about as good as a Cracker Barrel at this point, but she's lucky that she still have an entree into society. I'm Deandra.
Hey, Deandra, knock, knock.
Who's there?
L22.
L22 who?
There's no one there. That's the point. Do you get it?
Hey, Deandra, knock, knock.
Who's there, mother?
Snow.
Snow who, mother?
Snow algae. Where is it? When are we going to make this L22 already?
Well, she can go around saying I have $200 in my bank account. There's no one has a problem with that. She's like, so what? People can say I have 50 cents. I don't give a dog's rip.
50 Cent actually shows up and is like, hi, I'm here. See, I am friends with 50 Cent now. I don't give a dog's rip what you think about that, Deandra.
I think it is so sad. You have these women who can't be in a room together and just enjoy each other. I'm like, you haven't spoken to your daughter in months. What are you talking about?
She's like, her relationship, DeAndre, is between she and Rich. You do not need to keep participating in this push, 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 okay? I'm like, I cannot believe D is Team Leanne. This is hilarious.
I was doing it out of care and concern, and that's being twisted around on me.
Chuck, well, quit being concerned.
Be concerned about running this office. Be concerned about the fact that Amelia knows how to order stamps from the post office, but you don't. Am I right, Amelia?
Amelia's like...
Amelia just, like, opens her hands and, like, 200 forever stamps fall out of them. She, like, drops the mic, but she's dropping the stamps.
Boom. That's right. Drop the stamps. Drop the stamps, Amelia. Elvis stamps.
You see that? That's 200 American flags falling at your feet, and you don't even respect that.
Well, maybe Mama's right. I wanted to be in Leanne's business, but maybe I should stay out of Leanne's business. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, because then Dee is like, hey, DeAndra, hey, dum-dum, you ever think about this? That maybe she not, because you're so in her business, she may just get married now just to prove a point to you? And DeAndra's like, yeah. And then they just cut to Dee, and she just cocks her head. Like, that's right, I am right, and I will be taking back my company now.
It's called Season 4, Mama Dee, okay?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we get some close-up of some statues of bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stephanie's like, hey, Biscuit, you're gonna like, get a bath. You don't even know what's about to happen.
You're about to get... So Stephanie's sister, Tiffany, is there, and she's like Travis, but with a vagina and a twang. Travis is like, hey.
She lives in a small town in Oklahoma. Like, you'd never know it. Like, we have to give baths to dogs here. They don't do that there.
And Tiffany's like, yeah, that's why we only got chickens. She's like, ha, 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 chickens.
One time I wore her shirt in school. She got so mad she peed in my shampoo.
Yeah, so they talk about some farts and some pee because, you know, keep it in the family and all.
Yeah.
And then she tells...
my hair has hepatitis.
She tells her that what's his buns? Travis is going to Harvard in May. She's like, he's going to college? How come I never heard about this? Harvard is a tough school to get into.
Yeah, he must be smarter than us.
But here's the storyline. Like, it's going to be hard for me because, like, I have to stay home with the kids. And, like, I don't know how to be a single mom because, like, I don't know how to pay bills. Do you know how to pay bills?
She's like, yes, I have a job, stupid. Okay, it's called auto draft.
When people say they need to pay bills, are they actually, like, writing a check for something, or are they going to someone named Bill and paying them?
Yeah, who's Bill? And yeah, why did he give blowjobs to Mark Duber in the Roundup?
One time I clogged my toilet, and I called my dad, and he drove 2.5 hours just to unclog it.
We have, like, very different lives, because, like, I have handbags that cost more than her mortgage. I mean, she chose work, and I chose Shrek. So, it's totally different.
Yeah, they talk about how the dad is, like, always being called unclogged toilets and stuff. It's like,
maybe I was coddled too much.
Yeah, perhaps. If he's driving 2.5 hours to unclog your toilet. Or you could just go to Walmart and get a plunger, you know? Simple choices in life.
And Stephanie's telling her, you know, when other people hurt, I hurt. And, like, everyone else's problem is my problem. I've got to stop being codependent. And Tiffany's like, yeah, I'm more like Dad. All right, now, which toilet is clogged? Okay.
A lot of toilets in this house.
Yeah, it's a lot of them. Could you be more specific?
Yeah. So then we go to Brandy and Brian and Bruin. They're at a restaurant, and Brandy is, like, continuing this very uninteresting storyline about hiring a nanny. She's just like, wow, now that I have a nanny, I feel rejuvenated. We're, like, much happier. My sex life is back. I'm back to being Brandy. All because I've got a nanny. It's really exciting and empowering.
I'm so brave.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like toasting to having a nanny.
Yeah, you finally did it, honey. I can't believe you finally came through. They're gonna write a movie about you one day.
I know, the lady who hired a nanny.
Wow. So it's pretty much a whisper scene, and they just talk about, wow, we have a baby, and then of course it's Randy. So it ends up with shit everywhere.
Well, she's, yeah, because basically Brian is like bouncing Bruin and Bruin shits. And so, of course, the editors add this giant fart sound in case we didn't believe it. And then he's like squishing the baby, even though it just shats. And now the shit like squeezes out of the diaper onto the clothes. It's like, well, that's good. And Brandy's like, you know, of course, Brandy also was talking about Leanne, and she resents that Leanne said that Bruin came into their world to patch up their marriage, essentially. And she's like, Leanne is 50 years old and has no family, and I think she's full of shit about the wedding. To me, it's just a really sad way to live your life.
That's Brandy. That's all she's got, is people are older than her.
I know. And also, like, what people are just so concerned about this wedding. I mean, at this point, I do agree. I do think that Brandy is parroting just whatever Deandra's telling her at this point. But also, like, Deandra's obsession with Leanne's wedding, it makes me wonder if Deandra is not happy with where she is with Jeremy, and she's just projecting onto Leanne. Because this is like,
Jeremy's obviously cheating. There's obviously something going on there that she's freaking out about, and they're projecting. Yeah. Brandy just wants to yell at Leanne because she's used to it, and Leanne's not really giving them the opportunity. Now, what they've done the whole season is just chip, 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 chip away at Leanne, and she's kept it in, she's kept it in, she's kept it in. But this is the episode. No one gets hurt physically, but she loses it in this one, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess you can only take so much, but it's hard to be on Brandy's side ever because she says shit like that.
She's 50 years old and has no children and no husband. That's so sad.
It must be frustrating, though, to be Brandy, because season one, Brandy was the hero. She was the normal one, and Leanne was full-on crazy. You know, she'd walk into a scene with that crazy, you know, blush on her cheeks and was like, "Your charity world." She was so sanctimonious, and we're like, "Oh, this woman Leanne is crazy and awful." And then nothing really changed, but, like, the audience was like, you know what, guess what? We like Leanne now. And so for Brandy, it's probably like, wait a second, I was your protagonist.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, we're fickle. Leanne's our favorite now. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, sucka.
So, that must suck.
Then over at Carrie and Mark's laser, vaginal rejuvenation laser, whatever. Mark is freaking out. And Carrie's like, alcohol's on the way, Mark, okay? Like, that's the most important thing. He's like, you're not drinking, are you? He's like, no, not till after. I mean, I love a good drink, but this is work, Mark. This is work, okay?
He's like, has our stovetop arrived yet that can cook at 5,000 degrees? That's totally unnecessary to this laser vaginoplasty location? No? Okay.
And she's telling us he's freaking out because he hasn't been able to control every single little thing in it. And it's great. And then you see him walk into a room. He's like, there's no bar here yet. It's like, it's coming, Mark. Okay. Let them do their job. Okay.
Mark, just relax. We're going to round up all the stuff we need. We're just going to round it all up. Oh, I'm sorry. So Cameron shows up. Cameron looks like someone like was eating dinner and they had a big pink napkin and they got up to go to the bathroom and they sort of put the napkin down on the table and Cameron crawled under the napkin, cut a little hole in the top and just made it her dress.
Yeah, it's like a triangle, a pink glitter triangle.
See, a big pink triangle that she's wearing. And I actually really liked it in a weird way.
It's
so
like
Cameron just
soul shaker.
It's a shaker. Hello, girl. Hey, girl. What's going on, girl?
Hey, girl. This is from Net-a-Porter. Okay. This dress is from Net-a-Porter, which I'm really into lately.
Yeah, I'm really into Net-a-Porter. I don't know what it means. I don't know how to spell it, but I think it's Española. So then Leanne shows up and she's like, I'm for beauty preservation. If after I'm dead, a 21-year-old boy wants to open my coffin and have sex with my dead body, that's what I want to do. I want to have necrophilia, but be on the other side of it.
And then she sees Mark, and he starts coming towards her. And she's like, not going to lie, my heart is terrified. Feels like a twink seeing Mark's fupa through a glory hole at the roundup.
They're just fupas, but they work quite well. So, meanwhile, Cameron's... Cameron's still talking about her dress. She's like, yeah, it's like Haza Hala from Nara Party. I'm like, wait, what did you just say? It's Haza Hala from Nara Party. What? Haza Hala from Nara Party. Distributor.
Net-a-Porter Global Pet Expo Distributor. And so Dandra comes in, and she's wearing a gold top just like Leanne, which is hilarious to me.
She looks like she's like wearing a coffee filter. She's wearing a glossy coffee filter. So, I can't tell if she's about to, like, recite Shakespeare or or just strain some coffee grounds.
Yeah, or just drip some strong brew.
Yeah.
So Deandra comes in, and she's like, Carrie, having her own business? I mean, it's like having her own business. I was like, okay, glad they included that. So she hugs, and Cameron's like, oh, my God, I recognize that. She's like, hey, it's Net-a-Porter. She's like, oh, my God, me too. Obviously, she's shopping at Net-a-Porter, which means she has more than $200. That would wipe out her account.
That's what I call Net-a-Porter humor. I'm like, what the fuck is Net-a-Porter, by the way? I had to look it up. And then I got bored and I stopped. Look, I like found like some basic Google results. I was like, ugh, I can't.
So then Brandy comes in. She's like, I brought you a gift. It's a wrap.
Thanks, girl.
I should have known Leanne would be here. There's free food and cocktails.
I'm like, yeah, welcome to being a human being. Our most basic survival instinct, food. If there's free food and cocktails, you bet I'm going to be there.
Listen, after half Brandy talked to me at no time, I'm not interested in talking to Brandy, seeing Brandy, smelling Brandy, touching Brandy, going roller skating with Brandy, feeling the wind on my face with Brandy. I'm like, okay, wrap it up.
She wants to go to the back alley, though. Guess what? I'm happy to throw down with her. That's for sure.
And then like, a guy who looks
throw
like
something
Jason
down an alley.
Yeah, I'll throw. We can go bowling down an alley, use a ball, and knock down some cardboard boxes as pins.
Call it bum bowling. So, yeah. So Carrie now makes a speech, being like, "Thank you all. Thank you for. I don't remember. I sort of didn't listen, but I'm assuming it was like, thank you all for coming to this vagina house. It's exciting. We got lasers. Make your vagina big to small. It's good."
Thanks, everybody. It's like really hard work. Me and Mark. It's like, yay, vaginas, lasering. Okay, everybody, please don't fight at my party. Okay?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Also, then, I have issues with my father. I'm still on the show.
Yeah. So she like wedges in.
My father wishes I was a doctor, but like instead I take care of vaginas. And I'd like to think somewhere my dad is proud of me. I'm like, your dad's not dead. He's in Phoenix while you stay in his house.
I know. Speak about wedge salads. She fully is like, I'm just going to wedge this little character development in here. It has nothing to do with anything, but considering we're building an entire trip to Copenhagen around me trying to understand my dad, I guess I should somehow tie this in to my storyline, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, girl.
Daddy issues. Good luck with your vaginas. Okay, everybody, have a drink.
Yeah. So now Deandra and Leanne are making small talk about this cooking class that's coming up. And so they decide to move into one of the other rooms. That way they can talk in a more quiet environment. So they get there. They sit down. And Leanne's saying, like, I guess the other day I just was thrown for a loop that you would just talk so much shit about my relationship while wearing a depression hat. Like, why would you do that? A depression hat? Really?
It's like, you know that your mom invited me over, right?
She goes, yeah, well, I wasn't there on the phone. I wasn't there when she was on the phone with you, but I hope you're there.
What does that mean? You know, it's like, well, you know, I just want to resolve it because it threw me for a loop. And I would never say anything about your marriage, okay? I would support you no matter what, Dandra, okay? And I know that what Brandy said to me is exactly what I said to you. And I don't want her to have that information, okay? It's like, you and Brandy don't get along, okay? That is an issue separate from us.
I'm like, no, it's not, because you're going to Brandy and telling her every little thing so she can use it as a weapon against her.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was also just thinking about the idea of Leanne getting thrown for a loop and just like physically imagining Leanne being thrown in a loop. Like, whoa! Oh, that was crazy.
I was raised for this.
This is my moment. It's like being on the swings with no swings.
So then we cut to Mark and Cameron making small talk, and she's like, Net-a-Porter. And he's like, have you had a meatball? Meatballs are the best.
Meatballs are the best. Yeah. You know what I love? I only need two meatballs. I just love two balls right in my mouth. You know, they could be sauced. They could be not sauced. just love that taste of just some nice fresh balls.
God, I love breadsticks. Cameron's like,
Cameron's like, this doesn't sound right. So there's some schmoozing, and then we go back to the fight. And Leanne's basically is doing the same thing, saying like how she doesn't feel safe with Brandy having knowledge about her marriage or whatever. And then Deandra's just starting, she's just going nuts. She's like, you are deflecting again. She's deflecting again. This is not about Brandy. It's not about Brandy. I'm like, Deandra, yeah, sure, she is like not talking specifically about her and Rich. But she's basically saying the reason why I'm not telling you about me and Rich is because you're too close with Brandy now, and you get drunk with her and repeat things to her. So it's not a deflection. It's an explanation.
Yeah, it's literally a fight about Brandy. But then at the same time, Leanne's like, she has not earned the right to that knowledge. I'm like, what are you, NASA? I'm like, who cares?
Yeah, she hasn't leveled up. She has not killed enough little monsters to get her experience points up.
Yeah. And so Brandy and Carrie are talking. Brandy's like, you should be so proud, like the way I'm proud of myself for finally having the courage to get a nanny. And then she tells us, I can absolutely relate to being a woman in business.
I know. What? No, you can relate to being a woman who's walked into a business. Oh, the door opens. Business hours. With all this talk about nanny, I was secretly hoping Lisa Vanderpump would just like explode through the wall and be like, Nanny Kay, is she here?
Her friend Drescher.
Here, my vagina's going to get tightened. Mr. Sheffield.
So then Cameron goes up to Brandy and is like, hey, girl, I think you were the fun patrol the other night because you weren't having fun. And we see a flashback of Brandy fighting with Leanne and everything. And so Cameron's like, well, what? Basically, like, what were you fighting about with Leanne? So Brandy rehashes the whole thing.
What happened when I came down the stairs?
Girl. So then Brandy was like, I had told. Gosh, I'm trying to read through my notes here because it gets like she said, then he said that she said, yes, you do it.
She goes, I had lunch a few days earlier with Deandra, and from the talks we had, I feel like that there's jealousy in their relationship. So I explained that Deandra is married and accomplished and successful, and I think that might have hurt Leanne's feelings, but I was just trying to be honest with her because I care.
Yeah. And then she's like, and then Leanne's response was to say that Bruin. We got Bruin to save our marriage, and they all look at her like,
like Leanne's
what do we say right now?
Yeah, because they're all shocked. But Cameron's head, you know how she does that tilt? It like hits her shoulder. She's like, what?
They're not like,
wait a minute, wait, why are we here again? Are we repeating last year? Families are not on the table, okay. And Cameron's like, but wait, what did she say? Because I just don't see Leanne doing that. The Leanne I know is being positive.
Being heard.
Net-a-porté.
That is a net-a-porté-ist. I liked how their immediate response is not like, oh my God, that's awful. They're all like, for a moment, they're all like, sort of thought that too about Bruin. There was like a moment where they were like do we say that the thought had crossed our mind, and they're like, no, let's be supportive. That is so mean, Brandy. That is so mean.
Well, you can't yell at somebody for putting a band-aid on an open wound, you know what I mean? Like, good for you if you're trying to help your marriage. Have a baby, why not? Who am I to judge? So she's like, we said in our friend group we're not going to hit below the belt, and once again, she did.
Well, and it's like, yeah, she did. It is Leanne, after all. Leanne, that's what Leanne likes. She's like, I see a belt, I'm going to go under it. Every belt is like a limbo stick to me. So, but the thing is that, like, it's not like Brandy didn't also do inappropriate things. Like, Brandy has branded it as being brutally honest, but, like, to be like, your marriage is full of shit, you're jealous of Deandra, like, I guess that might not be as below the belt as bashing an adopted baby, but it's still like,
yeah, it's below the belt for both of them.
It's fighting words.
Leanne's saying that, and then Brandy's going around spreading that Rich, you know, they're spreading around that Rich and Leanne are probably cheating on each other, or Rich is cheating, or whatever. They're both being assholes, but yeah. Brandy's just such a liar. She lies every fucking time. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe she would say something like that. So then Leanne is still in the room with Deandra, and then Leanne brings out her big guns. So I was like, oh,
I love when Leanne does
no.
it. When Leanne gets like, sanctimonious, no. it's the best.
It's hypocritical and sanctimonious. Because, you know, you get, it's like I said at the beginning, here's this the episode where you can't even choose a side, because here they go, they're all wrong. So she's like, it scares me when I see you bring her to an event, like, no time, no time, and that is a huge event.
How could you bring her to no time? I mean, it's no time for crying out loud.
She's like, well, I should not have brought her to no shot. To no time. That was probably bad timing, Leanne, but I had no idea if she would even walk up to you at all. I just thought we'd say hi and support you and hug and everything would be great. I'm like, okay, you're full of shit too. My God, you guys.
Yes, Leanne's like, listen, Deandra, may I call you that? Deandra, when you're with her, all you wind up doing is drinking, okay? And Deandra's like, huh, what, huh, drinking? She's like, listen, I'm not saying that I chugged a funnel from Brandy, because I may or may not have done that myself. But listen, question. If you're at lunch and you're on a train going 25 miles per hour, going to Buffalo. Wait, hold on. Let me restart. If you're at lunch and you're not going back to work, how much do you drink? And Deandra's like, well, I mean, if I'm not going back to work, I mean, I will have a glass of wine. I mean, maybe a bottle. Maybe yeah, like two bottles. Like,
yikes. She literally said, well, or a bottle if I want to. She's like, I would never want to see you out in public at an event when you know the event is over 8 o'clock. So, and I have never done that, Leanne. She's like, yes, but when I see you with her. Okay, look, here's a menu in a restaurant, okay? You can choose a martini or a martini. What did you? You're an alcoholic. That's it.
Now, yes, Deandra's like, listen, I do not drink during work, okay? I am a high-functioning alcoholic, okay? And that means a lot to be high-functioning, all right?
Okay, now, just because this becomes a fight, I just have to say what was actually said. Because she said, I worry whenever you and Brandy are together, it's always about alcohol. And now, of course, she's holding a glass of champagne while she says this. And then she goes, I know Brandy has stress at home, and she's escaping with alcohol. And I just don't want you to be the person that she's escaping through alcohol with, okay? I don't want drunk Thelma and drunk Louise in a bottle of champagne driving into a bottle of Grey Goose, okay? That's what I'm saying.
Although maybe if Thelma and Louise were drunk, maybe they wouldn't have driven into that canyon. It may have actually helped them. So drink away. Yeah, she basically, and because Deandra's like, are you saying I have a drinking problem?
Well,
you know,
I'll say you've got enough alcohol to put a little umbrella in your ear.
So, yeah, Leanne says that Deandra's had drinking issues in the past. But I will say this, as of up to this point, not necessarily saying next week, it changes next week, but at this point she hasn't actually said you're an alcoholic. There actually is a very big difference between calling someone an alcoholic and saying you have a drinking problem. Drinking problem is like, guess what? You're being a little out of control. You got to rein it in. Alcoholic is like you have like a full on, you have an issue. You know, you
yeah.
Have like,
she's saying you're drinking too much in public and it's embarrassing. But she did say that Brandy's escaping with alcohol. So
yeah,
she is basically saying that. I mean, she words it in a way that she can get out of it later. But then of course Deandra is going to take that one thing and instead of saying that is none of your business, Leanne, and stop trying to pull it, stop trying to run around the posy. When you know that you're just mad at me, now you're going to try and make me look like a drunk on TV. It's stupid, Leanne. Because that's the real argument.
Well, I mean, the thing is this. It's not – I mean, I think maybe what Leanne is trying to say, and far be it from me to try to, like you know, to try to, like, give her the benefit of the doubt in this argument, because it is kind of a stupid argument. But basically, I mean, Brandy is not – she's not an alcoholic, but she's like a party girl. She and Steph are party girls, and Deandra's not a party girl like that. She's part of society. It's kind of like what you're saying. So now all of a sudden Deandra's like trying to be like Brandy and trying to like hang with the cool girls and be a party girl too. And Leanne, I think, is kind of like, that's just not who you are. And on top of that, it's not only is it not who you are, but you're telling her all my secrets. So I'm not into this.
Yeah, and it's a low blow, especially because Leanne knows Deandra's history. Which we find out now. It's like, oh, yes.
God.
Because Deandra's like, all right, I'm going to shut down this argument. So listen, Leanne, I am very calculated with what I drink. And my father was an alcoholic and shot himself in the head and killed himself while he was drunk.
And Leanne just sucks her lips where she's like, oh, uh-oh, just walked into that one.
Leanne is like mentally leafing through her like card catalog of carny stories. Like, I gotta find something to top that. I know there's something in here. Salt and pepper shakers? No. Okay.
When they tried to have me bobbing for radios instead of apples, and I almost got electrocuted.
No. Let's see. What about that time I got that stuffed alligator, but it turns out it's full of meth? No.
That time the bearded lady was really Louie Anderson, and he tried to eat my hand off. God damn it.
Like that time I went on those cars that go around a little circle, and I was beep so hard that the ride fell over on its side. No. Just trying to find all sorts of carny traumas. She got
fun times.
So Deandra's she's like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And Leanne's like, are you dismissing me? I'm like, I'm pretty sure you insinuate she has a drinking problem. She brought up memories of her father who committed suicide while he was drunk. And she doesn't want to talk about it because they're at a polite society function.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I thought we were almost done with this conversation. Then you hit me with a new accusation. She's, it's not an accusation, okay? You just need to stand up and say, hello, my name is Deandra. I'm an alcoholic. That's all you need to do, okay?
And then with impeccable timing, keep in mind, they've gotten to such a dark territory where they have now entered the realm of Deandra's father blowing his brains out because he was drunk. And Cameron walks in and goes, are you guys having your own party in here?
And then Leanne does that thing where she's like, girl, yes.
Oh, hi. Don't mind us. We weren't talking about anything serious or sad.
Oh, God. The timing. Then all the girls start coming in. Carrie comes in, and Deandra's like, "Where is the ladies' room? I'm not upset at all. I'm not upset at all." Her eyelashes like crushing through the room, and Leanne goes, "I did not see the ladies' room." Like, oh my god, this is gonna blow up so bad. There are too many lines that have been crossed at this point.
Like hundreds. Everyone's crossing their lines. So now, basically, everyone vacates, and now it's just Leanne and Cameron. And Cameron's like, hey girl, now that I got you alone, let me be a distributor for gossip, okay? So here's what everyone said. Brandy said that you said that Bruin was adopted just so that way they could save their marriage. Leanne's like, okay. You know what? I said she wouldn't like it if I said that. Just like I don't like it when she says that Rich and I have separate lives. Do you see what I'm saying? And Cameron's like, oh my god, girl.
And Leanne tells us, I am so sick of people twisting words, because it's not even twisting words, it's making up words that were never said. I'm like, you never said the words, but come on. Come on.
Well, there is a little bit of a difference, actually.
She did say you have a problem with alcohol, and every time you're with that girl, you're drunk. And I'm worried that everybody around town is going to say you're drunk because you're showing up everywhere drunk. So she is saying that. She didn't say you're an alcoholic, which, of course, Deandra totally does take and twist again.
No, but in terms of the Brandy stuff with, like,
well,
the baby.
She did say that, though, to Brandy. She was like, well, yeah, what if I went around saying that your baby's just a Band-Aid for your marriage? But I am saying your baby's just a Band-Aid for your marriage.
Yeah.
Like, where else
it's
would
one of those
come
things
from?
Where she's like both. She's, on the one hand, her point does remain, which is like, what if I said something that was really below the belt to you? You wouldn't like that, and that's what you just did to me. So that point is a good point. But then at the same time, she is also saying something without saying it, which is also like,
yeah.
It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah. But then it gets real dark real fast. So then, let's see. So Cameron thinks like she's pink detective this. And she's like, I have gotten to the bottom of this, girl. Oh. So then Leanne's like, well, I got to clear it up. Because now Stephanie has heard that. And now she believes it. And Carrie has heard it. And she believes it. What's that gay guy's name out there? Mark has heard it. And he believes it. Everybody believes it now.
I'm surprised that Mark hasn't told half the people in the office. I guess just got those meatballs in his mouth, you know? So Brandy, Steph, and Deandra are now in a room with Joyce. Joyce, their silent friend, and they're talking about everything. And DeAndre's like, well, basically, Leanne just called me an alcoholic. And it's like really hard because, you know, my issues with my father, you know, my father, he killed himself. And then it gets really sad. You know, she's telling this whole story about how he called her when he was drunk. And then 3 hours later, he shot himself. And, you know, she's, you know, crying. It's sad.
Yeah, and she's like, "What?" First she went, she said I had $200, and then she went after my dead dad. I'm like, wait, what? How are those two things connected? Oh, my God. Like, this, my brain started, like, exploding. Because then Brandy's like, yeah, that's Leanne for you. I'm like, oh, come on now. So then Stephanie's like, no, nobody thinks that, Tandra. Nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks that, Tandra. She's like freaking
out. Do
you
know how to unclog a toilet by any chance? Is this a bad time to ask that question?
Tiffany's like, here I am, sis. So Carrie comes in. She's like, what's up, you guys? What is up over here? And Stephanie's like, oh, my God. Well, apparently Leanne said that she's an alcoholic. And Carrie goes, what? Wait, you know, what are you talking about? Did she actually say that? And Deandra goes, Deandra's like, yeah, she said I'm alcoholic. She's like, did she actually say alcoholic? Did she say that or not? So Carrie's got her finger on the pulse because she's right what she's saying here. And then she catches Deandra because she goes, no, well, I said it to her because I said, are you calling me an alcoholic? And she said, you're drinking too much, which is different, but everybody just ignores that.
Yeah, exactly. And Brandy's like, misery loves company. I'm like, well, that makes sense. That's why you're all here, because you're all miserable right now. You're all miserable, and you're all dragging each other down.
Yep. Also, it explains that scene with Brian earlier. Jeez.
Ooh. So now the women all gather in the main area again, and now they're all talking, and Leanne's trying to clear it up. She's like, you know what, Brandy? I think you and I need to sit down and talk about all the stuff between us, because basically, you know what I was saying, it wasn't an accusation. I was saying, how would you feel if you realized your marriage was so empty at its core that the only way you could fix it was to adopt a baby? It's not even yours, but you're hoping desperately it'll fix everything, and you know it probably won't. How would you feel if I said that?
Yeah, and then it's a total mental gymnastics on both of their part, right? So Brandy's like, but there's a difference, Leanne. Me telling you that you're unhappy, that is my opinion. But then you throwing an accusation of me being unhappy is totally different.
I speak like, opinions, you speak accusations.
Yeah, you just said the same things. You're saying she's unhappy in her marriage, and she's saying you're unhappy in yours. Like, what's the difference?
So then Brandy goes, like, so they're at, like, a stalemate, so Brandy tries to do one of her patented techniques. She just stares at Leanne, like, stare, stare, stare. And Leanne's like, you can stare me down all you want. It's not going to change, okay?
I'm not going to get ugly or break a glass. And Carrie goes, yeah, that would be great, okay? That would be great if no one broke a glass, because, like, this is a place of business, okay? And then Brandy goes, yeah, but here's the difference. I'm coming from a positive place, and Leanne's coming from a hurtful, negative place. Like, I just want to help Leanne, okay? I just care.
Yeah.
These two are meant for each other. That's the sad thing. They're meant for each other.
So they decide that they're not going to fight, and Brandy's like, I've said it before, you can't teach an old bitch new tricks, which again, Brandy, all you've got is that you're young, and I'm so glad I get to watch you age, bitch.
Now, interestingly, Stephanie doesn't fully take Brandy's side. She's like, "What? I don't think Brandy is blameless. I know she's plungerless because she didn't fix my toilet." But she basically is like, "When you're friends with one of them, you can only see one side. But when you're friends with both of them, you can see both sides." So
yeah,
she
and then
is a little
so obvious with her tactics. Nobody believed Brandy when she said it. Like, nobody outright believed her. Carrie was like, what? Cameron went straight to Leanne. And Stephanie was like, no one was really like, how dare she?
Yeah.
And now in the car, Brandy's tactics are totally obvious. She's like, Leanne is just so jealous. And, like, I was so excited about the positive changes in her life and the Zen persona she's putting on.
Yeah. But no. She is, yeah, which is total bullshit. Like, she really... like, she was really excited for those changes. No. But so she says she thinks it's an act. And she's like, You know, and Steph, I've been nothing but positive and supportive of y'all's relationship, your new friendship, even though I just, like, stare hateful eyes at you every time you look at Leanne. But what's, like, what more, like, what better way to get at me than to be, than to pretend to be friends with you? Am I right? And Stephanie's like, wait.
Wait. I'm not good enough to be friends with someone unless they're trying to hurt your feelings. So that kind of like hurts my feelings. So I'd like,
She goes, but I don't want to use me either.
It's sort of like you're making it like that's like a really mean thing to say, Brandy. And like, what are you doing? Like throwing our friendship down the toilet? Speaking of which,
Tiffany pops up on the way back. She's like, here I am, sis. So she's like,
I don't want to be used either, Brandy. Like, that makes me nervous. Gotta be honest, Brandy. And Brandy goes, it's smoke and mirrors. Like, what?
Wait, why are we smoking mirrors? See, this is why I love this show right now, this season. Because, you know, obviously Leanne is using Stephanie, but also obviously Brandy's using Deandra. And there's this great power play happening. And weirdly, Deandra's using Brandy, too. So, like, watching these dynamics shift and as they like try to jockey for position, that's what's so thrilling about this season, and that's what we always love about these shows. Like on Orange County, for example, which has gotten a lot of flack, there is no jockeying for position. Gina and Emily are just trying to be accepted, but there's no, you know, there's minor rumblings with Tamara and Shannon, but like there's no like weird dynamics that are getting warped and twisted around. And it's happening here. And as I said a few weeks ago, I have my whole sidekick and master theory, which is that when a sidekick grows independent of a master, all sorts of shit happens. And we have that happening twofold here. You have Stephanie growing independent of Brandy, and you have Deandra growing independent of Leanne. Although some would make the argument that Deandra's the master and Leanne's the sidekick. Either way, the dynamics are getting messed up, and it's making for great television.
Well, it's double because Deandra was the original master off camera, right, who brought Leanne in. Then Leanne was the master on this show because she was the one who got her on a TV show. Now it's like switching back.
Exactly. So it's really fascinating to watch. I love it.
The layers, so everybody.
The layers. Oh my God.
Well, that brings us to another ending of another episode of Real Housewives of Dallas. To get your tickets for Seattle and Nashville in November and December, respectively, go to our calendar and find some calendar ticket links over at watchitcrappins.com. That's also where you'll find t-shirt links for King of Snarkasm.
Yeah.
And that is that, everybody. We will be back tomorrow with little Shaws of Cernsert.
Yeah.
Bye, you guys. We love you.
And by the way, with the Shaws of Sunset thing, if you're wondering, like, oh, why didn't you guys cover last week's episode? We actually covered it briefly in the Married to Medicine episode on Monday. Some people may have missed that because they thought it was only Married to Medicine. So if you're really yearning to hear us talk about Mike being an asshole in Vegas, it's on our Married to Medicine episode.
Yeah. And until next time, don't forget, Net-a-Porter.
Oh my God, Net-a-Porter, girl.
Bye, girl.
Bye.